chapter 11 and verse 6. And I'm going to talk about several things, but I'm mainly today going to talk about finishing the race. And I think God wants to finish the race. He finished the race. In fact, He's not done yet, but He is in the process. And God wants us to finish the race that He's given us. So if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. The race that I'm talking about is a relay race. And I don't know if anybody ever ran in a relay race in their life, but I did. And I know what a relay race is. What we have to do, I think, is to look at the whole picture that God has, from the very beginning to the very end, and there's about 7,000 years in that plan of God, in my opinion. And throughout that 7,000 years, there's people running the race of God. But first, let's look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So there's several things here, but it says it's impossible to please God without faith, for we must believe that He is. We must believe that He's in charge. We must believe that He created everything. We must believe that He's going to end everything up, and He's going to close it up, and He has set a race for mankind on this earth. He didn't set it on Mars. He didn't set it on some other planet. He set it right here on this earth. And in a sense, He passed the baton to Adam, and Adam dropped it, if you'll remember. But later picked it up again. And the point is, it's not how you begin the race of life, it's how you finish it. I want you to understand, it's not how you begin the life, it's how you finish life. That's important. What happened at the beginning is not going to be important at all. In fact, whatever happened up till the time that you received Jesus Christ will not even be mentioned. But from the very point that you received Jesus Christ, your race begins. God hands you the baton. He handed it to Adam. He handed it to King David. He handed it to Moses. He handed it to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and He handed it, of course, eventually to Jesus, and Jesus handed it to His disciples, and Paul picked it up, and so on, Peter and all of these men. And you say, well, there were apostles, but there were hundreds of thousands of people in between there that received the baton of God. And so we have at least 7,000 years in the plan of God. And in that 7,000 years, you have basically 60, 70, 80, 90 years, some more and some less. But you have a period of time where you are to run the race. And the issue is, you're to start the race, keep running the race, and finish the race. And then you hand the baton to somebody else. But hopefully, you're training somebody to receive the baton when you pass it on. And you pass it on when you go to be with Jesus Christ. So we are supposed to be in the process of not only learning about God ourselves, but training somebody else so that when we're gone, we're finished, our part is done, we hand it to somebody else. Now, one of my questions would be, who are you going to hand the baton to? Who are you going to hand that baton to? Who are you preparing to hand your baton to? And obviously, it hopefully would be somebody in your own family, but if you don't have a family, it'd be a friend. It'd be somebody that's younger than you that would be able to continue the race. Because if there's nobody to hand the baton to, the race is over. And they say within one generation, the entire world could lose the knowledge of Christ. And so so throughout all the generations, they've handed it on to somebody. And somebody's handed it on to somebody else. And it's come down to you and to I. Now, I remember one time when I was running in high school, we'd practice every night, and there would be maybe a half a dozen of us that run the half-mile race or the mile race or something. And so we'd run that every night. And when you began at first part where you weren't in shape, you might not run a mile. You might run 500 feet and quit. And the next day you'd run a little more. And then the next day you'd run a little more. And pretty soon you'd run the mile. And if you really wanted to be in shape, you'd run 2 miles so you'd be ready for the mile run if you really wanted to be in shape. And so it's work. It's hard work. It's not easy, even though we have the Lord. We are to run our race, and we are to finish the race. Well, there was always somebody that started out running and didn't finish. And you know, you never heard of that person as far as that race was concerned. It was the ones that finished the race. It didn't make any difference, particularly if they were the first one across the finish line. It was important that they crossed the finish line and that they did it strong. I want to cross that finish line strong. I don't want to creep across the finish line. I don't want to crawl across it. I want to run across that thing at full speed, run across that finish line, and or the place where I hand the baton to somebody else. Now, in a relay race, you'd have maybe four runners. If they ran the mile relay, four runners would run the 440, and it'd be four of them running. They'd pass the baton. The last one would take it over the line. There's always going to be a last one to take it over the line. But if you quit the race, and then you messed up everybody else in front of you, and you didn't give them that information. And I remember there's always one guy that ran. He would start out with everybody, but everybody would be way ahead of him, because he wasn't a very fast runner. But he would run, and he would run, and he would run, and he would always finish. Even though he finished last, he would always finish. Even though he was slower than everybody else, if he had a baton to pass, he'd eventually get there to pass it. And some run faster than others, but it's not how fast we run, it's how well we run. It's a running in the knowledge of God. It's running in the knowledge of the Lord. It's running in a situation where we know we can finish because we have the Lord. But you have to realize that God is. When any situation you're in, I don't care if it's in government, it's in your job, it's in your personal life, or whatever it is, if you don't believe God's in charge, and if you don't believe that God started you in this life and is going to end, you're going to face him when you end this life, then you're not likely to do what God wants you to do in this life. And the issue is, if you don't believe God's in charge and you're responsible to him, then you're only responsible to yourself and anything goes. And the problem is that we have a bunch of people running this country and running the world that do not believe that God's in charge, and therefore they are God, and whenever man is in charge instead of God, then you're only going to be able to do what man can do. You can't do what man and God can do. You're only going to do what man can do. And so what God wants us to do is run this race, realizing that we have a purpose in it, we're doing it for the Lord, and we want to finish strong in the race that he has given us. I want us to look in 1 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 18 and verse 21. And this is the question today, and I'm not claiming that this is going to be the greatest message you ever heard, but I'm going to claim this. It's a message that you need to hear today. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18 and then verse 21. You ought to have this marked in your Bible because it's extremely important. There was a big challenge going on this day, and Elijah was on one side, and 400 priests of the prophets of Baal was on the other side. And they had put up two altars, and they'd put a sacrifice on the altar, and the altar that the fire came down upon was going to be the one that God approved of. And so he's talking to all this huge crowd that's watching this thing. And they're all surrounding these two altars, and here's the 400 prophets of Baal praying, and here's Elijah praying over here by himself. And Elijah made a very interesting statement here in verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people, and he said, How long do you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people didn't say a word. I want to read this again. Elijah came at all the people and he said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And that's the way it is today. There are two, basically, in a sense, two gods in this world. One is the Lord, and the other is Satan. How long are you going to halt between the two? How long are you going to be until you make a decision of who you're going to follow? Because I'm going to tell you, the race has already started. You're late to get started in this race. You need to get started now. Some start earlier, some start later. I started when I was 33 years old. To me, that was later. I wish I'd have started at 10 years or 15 years before, but I didn't, because I was halting between two opinions. I hadn't made up my mind. I had been to church. I knew some of the information, but I didn't know. I had never made a decision. And finally, the day came on a Sunday evening in 1970 in a small group in a church, and basically God said to me, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? And so that night, with the help of the Lord and the power of God, I went forward in that service, and I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That was in 1970 in February on a Sunday night. I know exactly when my race began. I don't know exactly when it's going to finish, but I know when it began. And I know that from that point on, I was in the race. And I could either sit down and not finish, or I could go halfway and sit down and not finish, or I was going to finish the race. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that don't finish the race. I didn't say they weren't going to heaven. I said they don't finish the race that God has for them. And I'm going to be honest with you as I can be. They might as well die and go be with the Lord if they aren't going to finish the race. Because the longer they sit there and do nothing, it's just going to be that much worse when they stand before the Lord and try to explain why they didn't run the race. And try to explain that to him. And there's going to be a million excuses. I've been to funerals. Judy was talking about a funeral. I've been in funerals where people take just enormous amount of pictures in the person in the casket. And you know what I say about that? I say, if that person's not a Christian, you better take as many as you can, because that's the last time you're going to see them. We get people get this idea down in hell's going to be just a big party, and all these people you partied with on this life is going to be down there, and I have news for you. You're going to be in isolation. You're not going to see anybody but the devil and his workers, and they're not in charge in that place. And so I say, you know, somebody said, that's so awful, they're taking all those pictures. I say, take all of them you can. That's the last time you're going to see them. If you don't prepare your family, and you don't prepare your children, you don't prepare your grandchildren, and you don't prepare your great-grandchildren, aren't you glad you came from Texas to be here at this service? If you don't prepare your children and they don't take up the baton, take all the pictures you can. Because God has given us a race. God has given us a race. This is not a time to faint. This is not a time to grow weary. This is a time to stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if gasoline goes to $5 a gallon or anything else. God's in charge. He has a cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not going to worry about it. Man can worry about it, but I'm not going to worry about it because I know who He is. And He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And you won't need gasoline in heaven, so don't worry about it. Let's look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm talking about running the race. Somebody said, well, I just don't know. I just don't have to go to church. I mean, it's not necessary to go to church. Well, maybe you don't have to, but it's better if you do. You're listening to me. It's better if you do. It's better for you. You're going to be stronger if you do. You're going to help somebody else if you do. That's the issue. And I don't say you never go on vacation, never miss a Sunday. I didn't say that. But you know what I mean. Okay, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. 3 and verse 13. Brother, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul said, I'm not perfect, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm moving towards the mark, and I'm going to be going strong until the finish. And I'm going to tell you where he finished up. He finished up in jail, but I'm going to tell you, everyone in that jail knew about Jesus before he was done. Are you listening to me? That's the issue. He finished strong. He had his head cut off in jail, but I imagine the last thing he said was, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the guy that was cutting his head off. Because he finished strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the issue. He said, I haven't arrived, but I keep on the journey. I keep on moving. I forget those things which are behind because they just hold you down. If you made mistakes in the past, forget them and move on. Make everything right you can and forget them and move on. You can sit there and stew in your sorrow and your sadness, or you can get up and start running the race. I remember I saw this. There was a runner named Jim Ryan, and he ran in the Olympics, and he started this race, and he tripped and fell right in the middle of the race. I think it was the mile run, if I remember correct. He fell right in the middle of it. And I could see he laid there just a second, and the whole crowd was looking if he was going to stay down or if he was going to get up. Everybody in that stadium was watching him. They weren't watching the runners who were way ahead by this time. They were watching him to see if he was going to get up and finish that race. He got up limping and finished that race. And a great applause by the crowd at the end because he finished the race. And I don't care if you're limping or whatever you're doing, finish the race. Finish strong. if you have to go to be with the Lord, make it on Sunday and finish it right in church. What? I mean, come on. Let's finish the race God's given us. I don't care what age you are, what circumstances you're in. You have a race to run. You have somebody to influence. You have somebody to bless. You have somebody to give to. You have somebody to talk to about Jesus. And that's the race that God's given us. I'm not talking about a foot race. I'm talking about a race of the Word of God to get it to this generation before we die and go be with Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what this church is supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm going to do everything I can because I'm not supposed to do it all. I'm the cheerleader. I'm the one that says, keep on running. Keep on running, keep on running the race of Jesus Christ. I'm to give you the tools to run. I'm to give you the information to run. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to run at all. I do my part. And I hope when I die, I'm preaching the Word of God. You see. And don't, if I die in the pulpit, say, hallelujah, he finished the race. Are you listening to me? I mean, you know, and so I am encouraging you in every way I know how. I try to preach the whole Bible. Somebody just like a little part, they're real comfortable there. And they don't want to move beyond it. But if you're going to be here, I'm going to teach the whole thing. And I want you to know it all. I want you to know all the information, all the tools, everything you need to run the race that Jesus Christ gives you. And so expect to have more teaching on different things in the Bible. Expect to have prayer meetings. Expect to have all of these things because, in fact, Grace and I already have designated this summer as the summer of prayer for this church. And every Friday night, we're going to have a prayer meeting in our house. I don't care if it's just Grace and I. Are you listening to me? And the field mice or whatever's out there. But we'll bring in the dogs and cats in the neighborhood if nobody else wants to pray. But this is going to be a summer of prayer. And I'm going to tell you this, we're going to come out the other side shouting Jesus' name. Are you listening to me? We're going to have revival if it kills us. And if it kills us, then we'll really have revival. Hallelujah with Jesus. And that's the issue. And so I'm going to preach about everything and there is to preach about. And so you can't say you haven't heard it at least one time. You see. But I need prayer. I need prayer for strength. You need prayer for strength. We're a team. I'm not the whole show. We're a team. And I just want to get you ready so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever, you're running that race out there in this life. And that's the way it is. You know what happens to a church where people do not run the race? Pretty soon they forget about it. Pretty soon they start forgetting about God. Pretty soon the only thing they got left is themselves. And so they're going to run it like man. And don't you know where that's going? That's exactly what's happened to too many churches. They just kind of moping along and limping along, and they aren't running anything. And pretty soon somebody gets in charge that doesn't know Jesus, and you might as well have the Lions Club or the Elks Club or something else going on in there because it isn't going to have anything to do with God. Are you listening to me? It's amazing how many people can contribute to a church that doesn't preach about Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. And about the fact that, Constantine did a dumb thing. Back in 400 A.D., he decided that everybody's going to be a Christian. And he was in charge. He was the Caesar. He was the charge of the Roman Empire. He said, everybody's going to be a Christian. I've just announced it and proclaimed it so. And if you weren't become a Christian, you're going to die. So guess what happened? Everybody became a Christian. They said, I'm a Christian. All the priests out of the pagan temples, they said, oh, we're Christians. And they all joined the church. And they became priests in the church. And then they brought all their idols with them and they changed the name of the idols to Christian names. And they put those in the church. And so everybody's just one big happy thing. The only problem was they didn't bring Jesus. And so the church became a monstrosity. And that's exactly what the Bible says it became. I'm talking about the church in general, not this church particularly, and not other churches that are preaching the gospel, but the church in general just became a big conglomeration of pagan and Christian and man and mess. And people developed some kind of religion which God didn't have anything to do with, leading multitudes and multitudes of people to an eternity without Jesus Christ. Now that's what's happened. And that's basically what organized religion is today. I'm not opposed to denominations, but I'm saying some of them and generally do not teach salvation and do not teach that word, the Bible. And so what we need to do as a church and as a people and as a group that God has brought together is not only learn the Word of God, but do the Word of God in the race of God until the our time is over and we'll pass it on to somebody else. Amen. That's the way it works. And so that's what we are to do. We're supposed to be so in love with Jesus Christ that somebody will come up to you and say, I want what you have. Is that the kind of life you're living now? Are you living the kind of life in Christ that somebody would come up and say, I want what you have? I'm not here to discourage anybody. I'm here to tell you, start running the race. Start getting into this thing. Start working at it. And that's one of the reasons that I said, start reading a chapter of the Bible every single day out loud. That's part of getting ready to run the race. I didn't do that just to be doing something and have you do something, because you can do something if you're not interested in it, won't mean anything. But the issue is, I guarantee you, if I said start in the book of John, don't stay there, but start there and read a chapter out loud every day. And I've had testimonies from people already who said they were blessed. How many have been blessed by doing that? Okay, there you go. You see a few hands up. And I want you to finish strong. I want you to stand before Jesus and for him to say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Now, the issue is we don't all have the same time. We don't all run the same race exactly, and we don't all finish at the same time. One finishing now, somebody else finishes tomorrow. Jean Chapman just finished hers. Whatever. She's already stood before the Lord. Her race has been evaluated. How important. I don't care if you found Jesus 2 years ago. Start then. If you didn't start then, start now. Now is the time to start. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Are you kind of hedging on the whole thing? Well, if God's right and the world's right, I'll do a little of both, and then I'll be at least half right. That's the way a lot of people live. They really do. A little bit of God, a little bit of the world, and try to do a little bit of both of them, and you know, how can you go wrong? Just do everything. You can't miss on everything. It's like trying to shoot a target with a shotgun. You're going to hit something. Well, that's not the idea. Jerry Pitney told that joke one time. I thought it was funny. He said, I don't tell jokes very often, mostly because I can't remember them most of the time. And I don't like to start one and not finish it. But he told this story. He said, went out squirrel hunting with this guy, and the other guy had a rifle, and this guy had a shotgun. And the problem with this guy was that he had this thing called St. Vitus Dance, and he just couldn't hold still, and the gun was going like this, and they saw a squirrel up in a tree, and this guy was going to be the first one to fire, and the gun's going like this, and he fires, hit that squirrel dead, and fell down out of that tree. And the guy said, how'd you like that shot? Well, he said, you should have hit it. You aimed at the whole tree. Well, that's, God's not interested in people and aiming at life with the whole tree. He wants us to aim at the life with the plan that God has for us. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, that's the issue. Finish the race strong. That's what you need to do. All right. Now, I told you it was a relay race, and I want to show you where in the Bible it says it is. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to show you that it says it's a relay race, basically. It doesn't use that word, but I'm going to show you, to give you the idea. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Now, if you were at a track meet in high school, and you ran the mile run, there'd be a certain time that you run that race. And the rest of the time, you'd watch everybody else do what they were going to do. So the issue is, what God says is, after you run the race, and you're going to watch those that you gave the baton to. Are you listening to me? You're going to watch and see how they do. That's what it says in the scriptures. It says so right here in verse 12. Wherefore, seeing, chapter 12, verse 1, excuse me. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne. But up in verse 1 it says that we have a crowd of witnesses watching us run the race. Now, who are they? They are the ones that were saved before. They certainly are. If you had family members that have already gone to be with Jesus, that says they're watching you run the race. That's what it says. Now, if you didn't have any members that were saved that you know about, it's somebody else. Maybe it's a friend that knew the Lord. But somebody's up there in the stands in heaven watching you down here on this earth run the race. That's what that scripture says. So you're not alone on this earth. The eyes of the witnesses are upon you. That's exactly what that says. Now, the sin that easily besets us is the sin that you carry in the secret place of your life. That will slow you down from running the race. That's what that says. Whatever secret in your life you don't want anybody else to know, that'll hold you down so you can't run the race. So what you have to do is confess that before the Lord and accept his forgiveness and then move on and start running the race. Get back in there and run it at top speed until the end of the race. Now, the issue is that sin does is slow us down. Now, I've heard all kinds of things about, well, now if you sin, you're out of the race. I don't see that in the scriptures. Some people think so. I don't think so. I think that we're all going to mess up someplace or another, but we confess that and get back in the ball game. We confess it, get back in the race. You might stumble and fall, but you get back up and you keep going. You don't keep dwelling on where you fell and put a shrine there. A lot of people do that. They fall in, just like, and I'm not opposed to this, and I'm not making fun of it, but you drive along the road where somebody died, and a lot of times you'll see crosses and flowers and all that kind of stuff. Well, people do that where they fall. They fall somewhere in their life. They either sin, they make a mistake, they mess up somehow or another, and instead of confessing that and getting it straightened out and moving on, what they do is they just get into some kind of a sorrowful condition, and they're mourning over that sin, and pretty soon they get so used to mourning over that sin that just becomes part of their life. And God, yes.
Isn't it sufficient to just say, forgive me of all my sins? Or do we have to be specific about each and every one?
I think we should be specific about each and every one. Now, if it was something that happened 10 or 20 years ago, you may not have forgotten. You may have forgotten a lot of the things. There you would have to pray, forgive me for even the things I don't remember. But when you remember them, that means bring them before the Lord. He wants to forgive you of every single thing. Because if they're not forgiven, then they're going to weight you down. It's going to be harder to run. How many knows it's harder to run with 20-pound weights in your hand? Yes, it is. Well, that's what sin does. And it isn't a matter that we should be afraid to come to Christ because of our sin. We ought to be joyful to come to Him because He's going to deal with it. He will take care of it. He will cleanse us so we can run the race. If you don't remember all the details, then you would make just a blanket prayer. Forgive me of all that. I don't even remember all of it, Lord. Back so-and-so. And please forgive me for that. Then you make restitution if you have to and you move on. I don't think it's necessary to confess your sins before the whole church unless you sinned against the church. That's the only time you do that. Everybody doesn't have to know about what you've done in secret or something like that, but you need to acknowledge that. You acknowledge it. You proclaim that before the Lord, and then He can forgive you. That's the issue. You don't have to be afraid he's going to deny you forgiveness because He doesn't do that. He's not going to deny you forgiveness. He will forgive you. And what Jesus, you remember, said to Peter, Peter said, how many times should I ask forgiveness? 7 times 7? He said, no, 70 times 7. 490 times, and that's just the beginning. I don't think we have any idea how loving God is and how forgiving God is. I don't think we have a clue. When He gave His life totally on the cross and shed His blood totally for us, He made the foundation for forgiveness for any sin there possibly is, with one exception, and that's rejecting Him as Savior. He can't forgive that. That's one sin He can't forgive. There's only one that I know of, and that's rejecting Him as your personal Savior. Well, it's about time to quit. But the issue is, run the race that God has given you. I'll tell you this. Now, I can tell you from experience, when you get older, particularly, you can get very used to sitting down and doing nothing. You can make a career out of it. But I'm here to tell you, if you got any energy in your body whatsoever, you can read your Bible, you can speak the Word of God out loud, and with two hands you can pick up the telephone and tell somebody about Jesus, or bless somebody's life, or encourage somebody. I mean, there's always something you can do, and send them an email or whatever it is. And there's things we can do. I can't run the mile race anymore, with any kind of speed. And I think I could make it, but. I wouldn't win any races, let's put it that way. But I'm going to tell you this, I can walk that mile pretty good. And you know what I'm saying? And so you do what God's called you to do in this time in your life, and you ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do now? You know everything about me, you know what I can do, and you know what you've called me to. Now empower me to do it. And do that right up to the time you haven't got a breath left. And then you've run the race. Amen. Are you listening to me? There's never an excuse to sit down to do nothing out of laziness. We're all lazy a little bit, let's face it, let's be honest. And so we are Christians though, and so we're a different ball game than those that are lost. We don't have the time to waste in this race we're in. We don't have the time. I didn't say you couldn't enjoy yourself, and I didn't say you couldn't watch a good, clean movie, and I didn't say you couldn't go on vacation. I didn't say any of that stuff. I'm just saying when you're not doing those things, you should be. If you don't get up in the morning, listen to me carefully. If you don't get up in the morning and sometime within the first couple of hours think about Jesus Christ, then you better get saved. Yes.
I can personally attest to the fact that my grandparents, from their ages of 70 to 90, spent more time serving the Lord than they ever had time for before, because they were there for their grandkids. They were a listening ear. And just being a listening ear to someone that's hurting. We're not talking about going out and doing great, great things. Just being a listening ear, a hug, a phone call, a little note to somebody, you can change that person's entire day with those tiny little things that you can do for other people.
Yes.
When my uncle said that my grandparents were much better grandparents than they ever were parents, I said to myself, thank you, God, for giving them such a long life, because they were able to do so much more for Christ as they got older. And it wasn't the big things. It was just the little things, but it changed the lives of their grandkids.
Okay.
And their grandkids today are serving Christ.
Well, actually, the Christian life is fun. Because you can go in Walmart and say, God, what are you going to do now?
Yeah, he does,
too. Listen to me, it's fun. You think you went in there to shop. You think you went in there to spend money. You went in there to minister in Jesus' name. You're going to bless somebody. You're going to pick up something somebody drops in Jesus' name, say, bless you in the name of the Lord. You're going to smile at the cashier and say, God bless you, and all those things. Everything we do is ministry. I'm talking about you. This is not my job. Come on, I just do it just like you do it. So anyway, finish the race. Let's stand before the Lord.